And welcome to Changelog with Brian and Jim. My name's Jim.
I'm Brian.
And thanks for joining us. This is our inaugural podcast. This podcast is basically going to be maybe a tech rundown. Here's what's changed in the world of technology. We'd like to put this out on a weekly basis. You know, maybe we'll use this channel to publish other things as they come out, maybe rants along the way.
Oh, we like to rant.
Yeah, Brian's good at ranting. So is his wife. And if you haven't already, you could check out their channel, When We Rule the World, which is also on this network, which is Brian's wife and Jamie's wife, pretty much ranting about things and drinking.
Heavily.
Let's start off with our first story. Microsoft CEO search is narrowed. A credible report from Reuters claims that Microsoft has narrowed the number of possible candidates for its next CEO to 5 individuals. Of those, 2 are external to the company. Let's see. First off, we have Ford CEO Alan Mulally. How do you feel about that?
Honestly, I don't think it's a great choice. I think he's probably in the running because of the whole Ford Sync thing that they've been doing with Microsoft. But to me, while he may be a good businessman, I don't know that he's going to be the guy to understand Microsoft.
You know, I kind of feel the same way. He went to Boeing, and he really turned Boeing around. Of course, he's an aerospace engineer.
Sure.
That's his background. And then he went to Ford and turned them around. I guess they were one of the few companies that didn't receive government bailout.
Which you got to give him respect for.
Of course.
Not a Ford man, but...
Same here. I drive a... Not a Ford. But...
I have a Honda.
I have a Subaru. I love it. So, and he's 68 years old, which, believe it or not, that's getting up there. And to my knowledge, he doesn't know too much about Enterprise, which is Microsoft's bread and butter.
It really is.
Well, let's move on down the list. We have Stephen Elop. So Stephen Elop, he was a vice president at Microsoft and left to be the CEO of Nokia, where he ran them into the ground.
Nokia. I say Nokia, you say Nokia.
I've heard Nokia. I personally don't want to piss anybody at Nokia off. Interestingly enough, we are actively seeking sponsors. So Nokia, if you're looking for a sponsor or to sponsor a podcast, we give you 90 seconds right now. So Nokia, reach out to us. You can be reached at jim@onefootover.com. Thank you. So Stephen Elop just sold their handset division to Microsoft for $7 billion. That's a lot of money. That's a lot of money.
It really is.
But interesting about Stephen Elop, he has some plans, apparently. He is considering selling the Xbox business.
Which I think is foolish, honestly.
If you're Microsoft and you have a couple of different product categories, I mean, one obviously is your enterprise business. You know, you got your Windows desktop and your servers.
Sure.
And then you have your search, Bing search, right? And then you have the Xbox. I think that's it, right?
Well, then they got the tablets.
What?
The Surface.
Okay. And Surface.
Which their branding is Microsoft. They're manufactured by Samsung?
I thought they were Nokia.
Maybe they are.
Nokia. Okay, so and if it's been said in the last earnings call that Enterprise cleaned house, which they always do. That's where they make all their money. Because, you know, they just slap a new coat of paint on it and say, oh, it's Windows Server 2012 R2 instead of 2012 or 2008 R2 or 2008. So on and so forth. Anyhow, it's also been said that he would consider killing off Bing, which I see as a money pit.
Dude, I hate Bing. I refuse to Bing. It annoys me that people use it as a verb. I'm like,
Bing it.
Bing it.
So,
which is funny because I really embrace the term Google it. Maybe I just hate Bing. I don't know.
Did you ever, back when Bing was trying to do the Scroogled ads, did you ever take the Bing challenge?
I didn't even bother. You know why? I can't be lowered.
Wow.
To use Bing.
Okay.
I don't even like to type it. I don't like to say it. I just, no.
In full disclosure, I set Bing as my homepage and default search engine for a week to try out.
And you gave it the tryout.
So two things came up. One, I noticed that Google, their ads that they propagate at the very top of the page before your search result, they have such a faint background color of like cream.
Yeah.
That it almost is indistinguishable from the white, at least for my eyes.
Right.
And Bing does not do that. So in that respect, I thought that the search results, a delineation between ads and search results, was better on Bing's site. Item number two is I am fully in Google's atmosphere between Gmail and Android phones and Google Calendar and Hangouts and everything else.
As I think most tech-savvy people are.
And Google Plus. You know, a lot of people, you know, give Google Plus a bad name, but it's fantastic.
Love it.
Anyhow. So, another thing that, back to what we were talking about with Elop, he said he would put Office on iOS and Android.
Which I encourage.
I don't know why they haven't done it now. I think it's stupid to not have it on there.
It should have been done years ago.
When you are the de facto Office application.
Yes.
You're a software company. You sell your software to whoever will buy it.
I mean, at the point that they put it on Mac.
Yeah.
What's the additional stretch to throw it onto an iPad?
Well, you know, interestingly enough, they have not put it on... Well, iPads and iOS only get their software from the App Store.
Right.
Anything that's sold in the App Store, a 30% cut goes to Apple.
Sure.
Now, Office is not something that is readily available in the App Store.
Microsoft doesn't want to fork over that money.
Right. So you have to get it from Microsoft, store.microsoft.com. You can't get it in the Mac App Store. So, okay. So I'm just going to put it as bluntly as I can. Microsoft, you need to get your head out of your ass.
Oh!
And sell software since you're a software company.
Yeah.
There I said it. All right. Moving right along. Ooh! In the earnings call, they calculated that if Microsoft was to sell off Bing and Xbox, that it would soften their earnings for 2015 by over 40%. That's a big cut.
It really
3%
is.
3% of your earnings. Anyhow, so...
That's what I'm saying. I mean, and we can talk about it later. I think that they really hosed themselves with the Xbox One. But
do you want to talk about the Xbox One?
We'll come back to it because I want to finish this. But I mean, just to completely cut out one of arguably their more popular products, the Xbox 360, just a fantastic product.
Yeah.
And you know, if they had continued with that trend, but to say, you know what, we know this is wildly popular and these things sell themselves, and we're just going to get rid of it. It seems foolish.
When you consider that Bill Gates wanted a PC in every room in the house, and some people consider the Xbox 360 to be the PC that's in your living room.
Sure.
And you compare PC or Xbox 360 and PlayStation 3, mm-hmm. and you look at the last 24 months of sales, and Xbox has been the number one device sold for 23 out of those 24 months.
Right.
That's amazing. How do you even fathom that... Oh, let's get rid of this.
Yeah, so don't hire that guy. That's all I'm saying.
Well, he's a vice president now. Because
fire that guy. I'm saying.
All right, so let's sum up this list real quick. Two other names, Tony Bates, former CEO of Skype.
Which makes sense to me.
Yeah, he's currently running the Microsoft Business Development Division. And the other one is Satya Nadella, which... I'm sorry, I know I mispronounced your name, and my apologies. Personally, you're my favorite.
Yeah.
You're an internal choice, and you're currently in charge of the cloud and enterprise business.
Which is huge.
You understand Microsoft, and I will say this. You've been doing a bang-up job, and between you and me, servers are never going to have a touch interface. So why would you put the Windows 8.1 interface on a server OS? Just keep that in mind.
You don't want to put a touchscreen monitor in your server room?
I don't have a touchscreen. I don't have a touchscreen on my KVM switch in my rack. So, you know what? I'm done with this story. Let's move on.
It's moving on.
What's the next story, Brian?
Next story we got up here is the iPad Air.
Oh, beautiful device.
It really is nice. And when I first saw it, I got to be honest, I was just like, why? I mean, for me, I mean, I'm still rocking an iPad 2, and I realize that it's archaic, but I just don't have the money to fork over for an iPad 4 or an iPad Air. And since they updated to iOS 7, this thing has just been crawling. I mean, it basically...
I've heard that.
It brought it to its knees. And the same thing happened with Jenny's iPhone 4. Not S, just straight up 4. That device should have been excluded from the update to 7. And I think that that may have been one of the biggest mistakes they made, although they may have done it just because they knew that it would get people to buy new devices,
which we did. There's been rumors about that.
Because it was so bad. I mean, it was unusable. My iPad is still usable, but it's pretty sad. Now, looking at the Air, I was like, okay, so, you know, it looks nice. Obviously, it's going to run iOS 7 well.
Gangbusters.
But what else is there to entice me? I mean, it's thinner, which means I'll probably drop it more. Let's be honest. I got the clumsies. So then we see this article. And this article is coming to us from CNET. The benchmarks for the iPad Air are showing 80% of a speed bump over the iPad 4.
Dude, the A7 processor is bonkers.
80%. And it's running at the same speed as a fourth generation. Is the same processor that is in the 5S?
I have a 5S, and it is, and it's a screamer.
And, I mean, they're kind of speculating right now that the reason that they're getting a better speed out of it is because it's a bigger battery.
That makes sense.
But that right there, it almost makes me want to get one.
So I touched one of these, and I was surprised. Have you ever held an iPad Mini?
Yes.
Okay, so I have the iPad 2. Mm-hmm. And it's heavy. I mean, I did not know how heavy it was until I picked up an iPad Mini. So then this iPad Air came out, mm-hmm. and I picked one up, and it feels as light as an iPad Mini. And, you know, I venture to say that it's not, for me, it's not really a question about whether or not I get a new iPad Air or an iPad Mini. Because the iPad Air is really just the iPad Mini's dad.
Sure.
Instead of a new iPad.
Let me tell you one of the things I really enjoy about the new design of both the Mini and the Air.
Sure.
Is the smaller bezel.
Oh.
Because I look at my 2 and the 4, which were basically the same format, sure. right? It's hideous. This huge bezel. I'm like, why do I need all this extra space? And I'm sure it's for internals and whatever, but it just bugs me.
No, look, I'm going to call a spade a spade.
Okay.
They did that because they thought that people with fat thumbs needed a place to hold it. But if you look at the code and the way it has evolved over the last couple of years,
sure.
they have done the accidental thumb touch mm-hmm. to prevent that. So it's kind of a non-issue.
Yeah,
and I'm so happy they embraced the smaller bezel.
I really like the smaller bezel. It is not as awesome as the smaller bezel on our next topic.
Oh, let's talk about the Nexus 5.
Nexus 5, Google.
So Google has now officially unveiled. Interestingly enough, there was no big showcase, no big unveiling
no
or product launch. They basically lifted a couple of NDAs to a couple of reporters, and it appeared on Google Play.
Yeah.
So
why do you think that is?
Well, I honestly think that they did not get these barges that have been floating around. 4 of them, apparently. One is in Maine. One is in San Francisco. I thought it was going to be something to do with the launch of the Nexus 5.
Sure.
And maybe they didn't get them assembled in time. I could be wrong there.
Okay.
But so the Nexus 5 comes out. It's $350 for the 16 gig and $400 for the 32.
Uh-huh.
Ships with KitKat. I've read a lot of articles about this. I've had to read the articles because I don't have a Nexus 5.
Right.
We
can't get one yet.
Can't get one yet. Incidentally, Google, if you're interested in letting us review one, we can be reached at brian@onefootover.com.
Boom.
There it is.
We love you, Google.
Yes, we do. You know, it's fantastic. It's got a, from a specs point of view, it's just insane. It's got a 2.3 gigahertz Snapdragon 800 processor, quad core,
yes.
2 gigs of RAM. It's got an 8 megapixel with OIS, which varying reports of what the camera's like.
You know, they have this new HDR Plus feature, which, I mean, basically is it's the burst mode.
Sure.
That then picks the best quality. I think we've been disappointed in Android cameras for a while.
With good reason.
Yeah.
Nexus 4.
I mean, I have a Galaxy S3, which I love.
It's getting older.
But the camera on it is okay.
Okay.
I mean, I recently heard a podcast on The Verge, and they were talking about the Motorola camera.
The
Motorola camera app
is,
they're saying, hands down, best camera app that there is. Makes hardware better.
I heard the same thing about the Focal app.
So, I went online and found somebody who had pulled out the app. And I have it on my phone. Now, I want you, Jim, having never seen this, but having used an S3, you had one, and you've used stock Android.
Sure.
Just give it a quick look-see. This is see what you think about it.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
May I take a couple photos?
Do it. Snap away. I have the flash on right now from yesterday.
That is a very, very long delay. But it's... Oh, look at that. That's a really quick focus.
Yes. And it seems like it gets truer colors.
Okay.
Than the stock camera app gets.
Let me just say, 20 seconds I've looked at this, I love it.
Right?
This is the camera app to use. It is just, the controls on the stock Android app are just, you know, it's like a little game.
Right.
You touch the screen, you hold it, something comes up. Do I click this? Do I click that? Not like this. It has a nice permanent bar on the bottom with all your features. And a nice little preview in the upper left-hand corner of the last shot that you took. And then on the right-hand side, you have the shutter, the switch between rear and front-facing camera, as well as photo and video. This is fantastic. This is... God, I would love to have this. Anyhow.
Here's your phone back. Yeah, so camera that's on there may not be great, but maybe you can put that Motorola camera app on there. Get a little extra life out of it.
Now, supposedly, I did hear that they are working on an update to the camera app. Not released yet. Hopefully going to release before January.
Okay.
Okay, so as long as we're talking about Google, Google has a couple other things that they've recently talked about. One of them is it's a KitKat feature in which Google does caller ID. So it'll match numbers against Google Places.
Which is pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, how many times do you get just some random number and you're like, I'm not picking that up.
Not picking it up.
I don't know who that is. And then it's your doctor's office.
But if it's the doctor's office, yeah.
Or it's, you know, it's Walgreens and they're like, hey.
Oh, and it's also going to do against Google Voice personal accounts.
Nice.
So I think that this is a tremendous thing. I'd love to see this. There's an article in the show notes by Android Police. Fantastic article. Should give it a read. The other two things I wanted to talk about was this Nexus phone has 2 gigs of RAM. But after Google released Project Butter back with, what was that, Ice Cream Sandwich?
ICE.
And they've come out with Project Svelte, which is being extended to Android 4.4 devices. And apparently will allow them to run KitKat on as little as 512 RAM.
Wow.
That's huge. Think about the number of devices that are out there running Gingerbread. If you could just look at, if you could go through and say every device that's running Gingerbread could run 4.4.
Yeah, that would be a little bit ridiculous.
It'd be great. All of the security reasons alone. This, I mean, this is huge. Now, yes. It's probably going to run like crap because it's got crappy processors in it, but...
What?
But, you know, if it'll run on 512, the minimum requirement being 512, that's huge. Anyhow, yes. The other thing is I wanted to get your take on this this article by XDA developers entitled that Google is taking aim at device modders in 4.4. So you're a developer.
I am.
And you use CyanogenMod. In fact, aren't you currently running?
You just touched it.
Yeah. Yeah. CyanogenMod 10.1?
No, I'm actually running 10.2.
10.2?
Yeah.
Even better.
Yeah.
And which CyanogenMod just started a business. $7 million in VC funding to start a business based on modding or creating ROMs. So well, what does this mean for the modding community?
You want my honest opinion?
Yeah.
My honest opinion is that somebody's going to find a way around it. How many times...
They always have in the past.
Yeah, right. How many times did Apple, or does Apple continue to try and lock down jailbreaking?
That's right.
And, you know, everybody finds a way. Water finds its level. Hackers will find a way their devices.
How many Android phones have been released on whatever carrier, Verizon, AT&T, so on and so forth, with a locked bootloader?
Current S3 on Verizon.
Case in point.
And it took me all of 3 seconds, you know, to unlock that bootloader.
Well, you're just good like that.
My point is, I mean, I think it's foolish of them to try to do this. Being, you know, selling themselves as an open source platform, it just seems like a dumb idea.
Yeah.
That's all I have to say about it.
Okay. So the last item that Google has introduced this particular week is their Helpouts. That is huge. Okay, so a quick rundown as to what it is. Helpouts is a service where I can do a search for something that I need help with. And one of the published results will be vetted instructional people that offer a service for money. Yes. I could see teachers. In fact, I did a search the other day and I saw a psychologist come up where you could do a 45-minute session. And I want to say it was $90.
That's pretty cheap.
Well, I figure it's what, 50 to 60% of the cost of a regular appointment?
Right.
Not that I, you know... go to a lot of psychiatrist appointments. But you know, if I was experiencing an issue with, say, Photoshop, and I could do a search for somebody and say, you know, I'm having trouble editing this photo.
Sure.
And somebody could do a one-time video conference with me, share my screen through WebRTC, thank you, Google, and... help me fix it or show me, teach me how to fix it so that I could do it in the future.
Right.
I would pay for that.
Totally.
So insert any app that I'm working on, especially in the professional community, stuff like Logic.
Which I want to know how to do this. Recording on right now.
Thank you. Thank you, Apple.
Yes.
And if I needed help with it, of course I'm going to Google it. And
or
if somebody.
Call me.
But, no, yeah. Well, yeah, let's face it. Ladies and gentlemen, Brian is the go-to person when it comes to audio and video recording.
In this house, anyway.
Yeah. So, but when I need help with something, of course, I'm going to Google it. And if right in my search results, somebody is right there live, ready to help me, and it's, I can just, with my Google Wallet, send them a couple of bucks. That's huge.
It is. And I see the applications for this being endless. I have friends that are big into... voice lessons and guitar lessons. And I see that community really embracing this. Right now, most of them that are doing it online are using Skype, which is great, but they still have to organize and manage their payments separately. And I think that just the idea of being able to have your payment method and everything working all in one, genius.
So there's an ad that came out for this. Brian, how do you feel about us playing a video?
Go ahead and play it, and we'll post it on the blog too so people can see it.
So a girl, she's searching for photo retouching. Right in the search results, it shows...
My wife has got to overexpose the photo. I'm going to tell you what to do. We're going to fix it. Now on the right side...
There's a guy willing to help her.
For the curve tool.
See if you can soften your shoulders towards each other. Yeah, there you go.
Actually, there's people doing yoga lessons, guitar lessons.
Put your ring finger on the third fret of the A string. Give that a try.
Wow, this is fantastic.
Yeah, that's it.
Sweep that color right underneath just to really give them a little bit of extra definition. See? That looks great.
That looks really great.
Brings out those big, beautiful eyes.
So, before you fold the egg whites into the
Okay, so that was a little creepy.
Stir just the first third in. That way, you get a more even texture throughout the cake.
So, have you noticed that a lot of the Google video ads for their Google products have gotten a lot more Apple-like?
They have. They've been Apple-ized?
I don't see that as a bad thing. And in watching this video, which is, a little introduction to helpouts, there's so many possibilities. So apparently Google is vetting all of these services that are currently available. Mm-hmm. And Sephora's in there. Weight Watchers is in there. Rosetta Stone. And you do a search for whatever you're looking for, and you're going to find a result for a help out.
Right.
And it lists the price right there. And you can do a flat fee. Apparently, when you sign up, you can do a per minute fee. And I think this is huge.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that was a good story.
I liked it.
All right. The final story that I thought was interesting was Blockbuster.
Yes, Blockbuster Video. My first real job.
Really?
Yeah, Blockbuster Video. That was how I learned to embrace and love movies so much.
Interesting story. My first real job was Wendy's, and I used to work in the drive-thru, and all the time people would tell me I should get into radio.
Nice. Well,
you got
a radio voice.
So when I read the story, it turns out that Dish Network, which owns Blockbuster, is going to be closing the last 300 stores.
I didn't know they still had 300 stores open.
To be honest, that's what I thought too. I was like, wait a minute.
All the ones here closed 5 years ago?
So for those that don't know, we are in the... Northern Illinois, Chicagoland area?
Sure, the far west suburbs, they call it.
Thank you. Far west suburbs. And apparently, 9 years ago, Blockbuster had 9,000 stores. And
which I believe. They were, there were five within a couple miles of my house.
I believe Easy. It. I believe it.
They bought other video stores right up the street from theirs, and instead of just closing them, turned them into another Blockbuster. Seemed okay. Foolish. I mean, to have two of them within a half mile of each other, but whatever.
You know, for me, Blockbuster was just a place to get VHS tapes.
You said VHS.
I know. Because I don't even have a VCR.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, thank you, Netflix.
Woo!
And Apple. I guess Blockbuster's blood is on your hands.
Well, Blockbuster has an online service. Similar to Netflix.
That's true.
It is available through Dish. It's like $10 a month. I thought about trying it, but I love my Netflix, so I didn't even bother. I'm like, I'm not going to waste the $10.
So just want to give a shout out to Kevin Marks. This little tidbit came from him.
Nice.
So, well, what's in the calendar for the next week?
Well, there's the new Nokia 6-inch Lumia 1520 is arriving, AT&T. It's November 22nd.
Any idea what the cost is going to be?
$200. They're taking pre-orders now.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Looks like that's it on the calendar. Anything else to mention? Oh, so as long as we're just mentioning topical stuff.
Sure.
Let me give a shout out to iGoogle. Rest in peace. Since you're no more. And
gone the way of the reader.
You know, that's why I have such a hard time embracing Google Voice, because I love Google Voice, but I don't want to get into it and then have them be like, meh, Reader, you're gone.
You got readered.
And that's the new thing. We're going to do a segment once a week for any time Google kills off a service and say you've been readered.
Once a week.
Let's see. So this Ashton, there's a story. Ashton Kutcher.
Are we talking about that?
I got to bring it up.
Okay.
He apparently is ditching his iPhone and iPad because of his new role as a Lenovo product engineer.
Okay.
I find this interesting. So you may remember Alicia Keys was a creative director for BlackBerry. Last year, she became a creative director for BlackBerry, yes.
Which seems like a stretch.
You know, but the thing that bothers me is this is kind of a joke in the tech industry that, you know, these celebrities, and I use the term loosely, Ashton.
There were air quotes.
Yes. That they're getting involved in this type of marketing. Okay. For
which, I mean, he already was in a huge marketing campaign for...
What was it, Nikon?
Nikon, yeah. For their Coolpix camera, I believe, or one of those. And that seemed like a huge thing, and now he's getting into this. Interestingly enough, that Lenovo snapped him up and not Apple, since he just played Steve Jobs.
Well, maybe that's their review of the movie.
I gotta tell you, I like the movie. I enjoyed it. I actually wanted more of it, though. I wanted to get more into them developing the products that I actually enjoy using, and not, you know, a brick of an iPod.
Well,
that I couldn't afford, and I had to get a crappy like sub Zoom player. Wow. Wasn't even Zoom. It was sub. It was made by Creative.
Creative.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had one of those guys.
I have. I don't recall what they called it, but you know,
it was rough.
So I think that Apple does not do a lot of these celebrity marketing people, and BlackBerry does.
Yeah, well, BlackBerry needs to. Apple doesn't really need to.
And Lenovo recently made a bid for BlackBerry's hardware division, and I wonder if this has something to do with that.
Yeah, is Lenovo still linked to IBM? Are they still? Because originally,
I don't think so.
There was IBM, and then Lenovo was kind of like their sub, or like their consumer brand.
I thought they bought the consumer brand outright.
Oh.
Or maybe they split off.
Yeah, okay. So I wasn't sure if they were still part of them, because you never really hear them mentioned in the same breath anymore.
Okay, I have to apologize. I'm very distracted right now, because on this page,
yes,
there is a little flash advert for the other articles you may like on this page.
You're looking at the Victoria's Secret one, aren't you?
No.
It's the elk.
Yeah, the elk. So there is an article about an elk jumping on a family trampoline, and it's caught on tape. And it's to set the scene, it's wintertime. It's a 3-minute long video. It's wintertime. There is one of these trampolines that has the side netting that's fairly tall, and there's an elk inside of it, and it's running around on the trampoline and slipping and falling, and it's a hoot. Anyhow, so we will make sure to post this video up on the show notes.
Yeah, so, distracted by an elk.
Distracted by an elk.
ADD, the calling card or the hallmark of most, you know, techie individuals, I think.
Okay. So,
Ashton Kutcher, if they were going to make him some sort of a creative lead or just call him, you know, a sponsored personality, I could see that making sense. But
hey, when you look at this article, they say that he has... apparently, he's doing things. He says that he's actually heading to Beijing to start working with the R&D team there. And he's got a laundry list of things that he's calling his wish or dream list.
Okay.
Or dream wish, which is probably 50 different wishes that he would like to see in the next generation tablet. That might be a bit of a stretch, because I've seen some of Lenovo's tablets, and let's just say, all right, let me just put it out on the line. Lenovo, Windows is a bad choice. Go with Android. It's lighter. Windows, you're a grease pig.
Couple of side things.
Sure.
I just got to say, I actually like Ashton Kutcher.
Okay.
Not in this capacity, but I think he's a pretty good actor. And I may take some flack for that, but go watch Butterfly Effect. Amazeballs.
I did not see that.
Do you need to.
Okay.
It's so good.
Maybe, okay.
It's dark.
Maybe
it's
you dark. And Jamie could it. Do a review of that.
Maybe. I don't know if Jamie could handle it. It's not his style, you know. But, yeah, we do. Let's go ahead and plug that. We have also a movie review podcast.
What's that one called?
Jamie Dew's called Fairly Critical. And we already have our first post up. You can check it out. It's a review of Ender's Game, where we talk a lot about the book.
I got to tell you, I listened to that podcast. Yeah. And if anything, it made me want to read or listen to more audiobooks.
I love audiobooks.
I mean, speaking of audiobooks.
Yeah.
Audible. Knock, knock. Amazon, if you're listening.
We love you.
Please. We would love to have you sponsor us. And I guess give us money.
Give us money.
We give you lots of plugs because we love Audible. I used to live about 44 miles door-to-door from work, and I would listen to Audible for my two-hour commute each way.
Sure.
And it was fantastic. It makes the commute fly. So, Audible, we can be reached at Jim or Brian at onefootover.com. And if you haven't checked out the website, please do. onefootover.com.
.com. It's a good time.
It is. So, you got anything else before we wrap this up? I got to tell you, I'm kind of done talking about Ashton Kutcher.
Yeah, that's fine. We can be done with him. He did go to college for biological engineering. He didn't finish because he started acting or whatever, modeling undies. But he did that. Let's just throw it out there. It happened.
Wow.
Yeah, that's it. Before we wrap up.
Yeah.
We were talking about the new Nexus S.
Mm-hmm.
Nexus.
Five.
We were talking about the camera.
Sure.
We did not tie it to how ballin' the camera is on the iPhone 5S. Now, you know...
So you want to bring that up?
You know that I am a staunch supporter of Android.
Sure.
My general opinion of iPhones is that they are just too damn small. I have big man hands.
I'm holding a 5S right now.
I have big man hands.
You do.
I can't be trying to type with my thumbs.
He could facepalm me and my head would disappear.
On these teeny little screens. So, here's the thing, right? So, because of the aforementioned iOS 7 and iPhone 4 incident.
Which runs very well on the 5S.
I had to get my wife Jenny a new phone.
What did she choose?
Well, Jenny...
She got an Android, right? She got Note.
She didn't really choose it. She didn't want to spend any money because we weren't up for renewal yet on our contract. She didn't want to spend any money. So I went on eBay and I got a used Android phone. It was an incredible 4G. I loaded it up.
You guys are Verizon, right?
Yeah. Okay. So I got it all rocking, and it was just having problems. I think it was really just there was something wrong with the phone itself.
That's an HTC?
Yes.
Okay.
It because it would work fine, and then all of a sudden it would just not work. So I don't blame the phone as a device. You know, as that device is bad. I think it was actually that particular one that I got was bad. Neither here nor there. So then I decide that we're just going to bite the bullet and work something out and get a new iPhone. Because Jenny loved her iPhone. So we go in, I get it all worked out, and I'm like, I'm not doing this again in another year. So I got the 5S, decked it out. So I'm setting it up for her. I'm installing all of her, you know, putting in her accounts and everything. And as much as I love my S3 with my Cyanogen mod, the phone made me jealous.
Wow.
Because it is just smooth.
Like, ladies and
everything
gentlemen.
About it is so smooth. Now I'm
so
still
you're holding
annoyed.
It outside of the case, right?
Yeah, I'm still annoyed that there's no external storage, and you know, it annoys me that you can't, you know, FTP and stuff, because that's how I love to do. But it's just so smooth.
You can airdrop to it from
your
MacBook Air.
The camera is gorgeous.
Uh-huh.
Absolutely gorgeous. And if I was in range to airdrop, why wouldn't I just use my computer? That's all I'm saying. With this tiny screen.
All right, you got me.
This tiny screen for small hands. But
so it's 4.0 inches now.
It is. It is a little bit bigger.
For the larger my point of is, the midgets.
As much as I love my phone, the phone made me jealous. So good on you, Apple.
You know, it's okay. So we can ramp it up.
Yeah.
I kind of wanted to talk about the new elephant in the room, Call of Duty Ghosts, and the difference between the Xbox and the PlayStation. Should we save that for another time?
No, I think we should just hit it.
All right, hit me.
Hit it quickly.
What do you got?
There's articles that were released today. Or not today, this week. Call of Duty Ghosts on the PlayStation 4 is running a beautiful 60 frames per second at 1080p. Which you would expect to be...
on the next generation console.
Easy for a console that's supposed to last you for another 8 years. Because sure. That's about how long they expect these consoles to last for. The Xbox One couldn't handle 60 frames per second smoothly at 1080p. So it is being rendered at 720p and upscaled to 1080.
Oh, boo Microsoft.
Why? Why would you release a device that can't handle what your competitor is going to be able to directly handle, and then some?
Now, I heard that the Xbox One and the PlayStation 4 both had the same version of the same ATI processor.
I believe that's true.
They're both x86 coded, both same amount of RAM. What am I missing?
I think there's too much overhead in the Xbox One because of the overlays that they're putting in, the ads that they're putting in, all of the NSA-style search and weirdness that they're putting on the Kinect.
Let me just take a moment to welcome the NSA to the conversation.
Hey!
How you doing?
Good on ya.
So I had heard that the Xbox One was going to be running three operating system simultaneously. That's a lot of resources being used up.
Which seems foolish.
Because one of them was for the perpetual, hey, to be able to talk and say, chat with my mom while I'm trying to play games, or post things to the tweeter or Twitter.
The Twitter.
The Twitterverse.
Nice.
You know, I remember when the PlayStation 3 came out.
Yes.
And the Xbox 360, because they were kind of in line.
They were.
And the PlayStation 3 was a cell-based processor and was... everybody said it was just leaps and bounds technologically ahead of the 360.
It was. And which one worked better?
I don't know, because...
because you didn't get one. The 360
smoked
the PlayStation 3.
Really?
Yes. By developers, I listened to a few different podcasts with developers who basically said it was so much easier to develop on the 360 than the PlayStation 3. The stuff just worked better. They had less problems. Now, they said the opposite about the Xbox One. They said the PlayStation 4 is running things flawlessly and they're having, you know, minimum issues. The Xbox One is just not working the way it should.
So, the PlayStation 4, is it backwards compatible?
No. I don't think either of them are.
Oh, boo. Really? You mean I've got to buy games again?
Let me consult the bones quickly, but I'm pretty sure.
Well, that's just obnoxious. Okay, so Call of Duty, the reason to get it on Microsoft or on Xbox is because all DLC is first released on Microsoft Xbox One. And you have to wait so many days to get it on the PlayStation?
Yeah, so it won't be backwards compatible to the PS3. Let me see here, what does it say?
Which is not surprising because...
something. Okay. So, no, it's not. But here's something great about the PS4 on top of all this other stuff. If you have a PlayStation Vita, they're handheld...
sure.
device. You can play your PlayStation 4 games on the Vita, provided that you are on the same Wi-Fi network. It will run the game on the PlayStation and basically stream the view to the Vita and let you play it. So you can play your Call of Duty while you're taking a duty. This is what I'm saying.
I love it.
Call of Duty and the duty.
All right.
You put the duty into Call of Duty. That's enough duty jokes.
Okay, so I think from an architecture point of view, with one being Cell or last generation being Cell and the new generation being x86,
yeah,
I can understand why the PlayStation 4 is not backwards compatible.
Yeah.
However, with the Xbox 360's Tri-Core being x86 and the Xbox One being x86, unacceptable. I will not buy an Xbox.
Nope. One. Boo on you, Microsoft. Maybe you should sell your Xbox business if you're going to run it into the ground like this.
Yeah. Well, all right. There you go. Words to live by. Microsoft, sell your Xbox business.
Yep. Get an iPad Air.
Get an iPad Air. What a nice device, and it's so light.
Yeah.
All right. So I believe that about does it for the inaugural episode of Changelog with Brian and Jim.
So signing off, I'm Brian Watkins.
I'm Jim Hetzel.
Have a great week.